matter of fact, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Not part of the message, but I don't take standing behind the pulpit lightly. It's a great honor. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Bible says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence." When I think about preaching, you know, and the preacher asking me to fill in for him and preach, I realize what I am. I know what I am. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And do I deserve to be up here? Probably not. But we have a word. We have God's word that gives the authority when we preach the word. Amen. So I thank the pastor for allowing me to be here and preach this morning. And I thank you for coming, even though you didn't know I was preaching, if I wouldn't have came. Amen. But I thank you for coming. Amen. I think it came on something. But I thank you for coming because it encourages my heart to see you here. Amen. All right. We're not going to be long this morning because I've got about an hour and a half to learn the whole Old Testament. But it's so, afterwards. So, amen. We're going to be quick. Praise the Lord. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Starting in verse 22. And Sister Beth, thank you for the water. So if I knock it over and spill it all over, it's going to be your fault. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 14, let's go down to verse 22. The Bible says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary." Now, if you look up in verse 13, it says, "When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart." What had he heard of? Who had just got killed? John the Baptist had just been beheaded. And Jesus wanted to go and be alone. But because of the people, he didn't make it. But down here, we get started again. He said, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get to a ship and go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away." I believe that Jesus wanted to be alone. I believe he was flesh. I believe he was grieved over John the Baptist. And he wanted to be alone and he wanted to pray. Verse 24. "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, Is it a spirit? And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Isn't it good when Jesus says, "Be of good cheer, it is I"? Amen. "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand, and caught him, and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? But isn't it a good thing to know that when we cry out to Jesus, when we cry out to God, immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and called Him. That immediately He hears us, and we can be sure that He's there for us. Amen. And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Amen. I'm not going to preach to you this morning on Peter and his faith or lack of faith or whatever it may be. This morning I want to preach to you out of verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and go before Him unto the other side. This morning for a few minutes I want to preach to you on get up, get in, and get on. Get up, get in, and get on. He said, Brother Steve, He didn't tell them to get up, did He not? It said, and straightway Jesus constrained His disciples. I looked at the definition of constrain. It says to compel or force, to urge with irresistible power. I believe He said, fellows, you need to get up. Get up now and get in the ship to the other side. He constrained. Now, constrained can mean many things. Constrained can mean you can get tied up. But I don't think He tied them up. But I think He urgently said, fellas, brethren, you need to go ahead and get in the ship and get to the other side. He said, get up and get in the ship. I think this morning there are some places and some things we need to get up from and get up to. Over in Luke chapter 15, the story of the prodigal son. He said, Dad, I want what's coming to me and I want it now. The way we are this day and time. I want what's coming to me and I want it now. Brethren, sometimes when we ask that question, we better be careful. And thank God for grace and mercy. I'm glad that I don't get what's coming to me. Amen. And it's only because of His grace and His mercy when I got born in God's family that I don't get what I deserve and what's coming. But He got what He wanted. He got His inheritance. He got His belongings. And He went on His merry way. Amen. A lot of times, when we get what we want, it's not really what we want. Amen. We may get what we want, but it's maybe not what we need. Amen. Because in a few verses over, you see the prodigal son where? In the hog pen. Amen. He got what he wanted. Now he got what he deserved. He's in the hog pen. One of the places I think we need to get up and get out of is the hog pen this morning. We are in the hog pen and we don't even know it. Sin is still sin. Yeah. The Bible still says, for the wages of sin is death. Yeah. And that young man was dying spiritually. He was dying spiritually. He was in the hog pen. He had already lost his mind because it says he came to himself. Amen. He was in the hog pen. And some of us are here this morning in the hog pen. How do I know you're in the hog pen? How do I know when we get in the hog pen? Number one is because of the way we dress. Amen? It's the way we talk. It's the way we act. Because of the people we hang out with. Because of the music we listen to. Because what we're looking at on TV and on our phones, we're in the hog pen and we don't know it. We need to get out of the hog pen. I know we're in church this morning and I know who I'm preaching to. We're all dressed up. We look nice. As nice as we can get anyway. It's as good as I'm going to get. Amen. It's all downhill for me from here. Amen. We get all dressed up. We know how to act. We know how to talk. We know how to walk when we're in church. But it's just as soon as we walk out the doors, we get right back into the hog pen. Amen. We go to get in our cars. We turn on the radio. What kind of music are we listening to? Amen. We have our conversation at lunch. What are we doing? We're talking about the preacher. Now, y'all can talk about me all you want to. It's not going to hurt my feelings. I'm old enough, go ahead. I've been talking about plenty. It's not going to hurt my feelings at all. Praise the Lord. At least if you're talking about me, you're not going to be talking about our pastor. Amen. How are you in the hog pen? Why are you in the hog pen? Quit doing the things that hogs do in the hog pen. I believe there's two reasons we don't get out of the hog pen. Number one, we are carnal, fleshly Christians and we're enjoying the slop. Yeah. Or, number two, you're still a hog. So it's going to be up to you to decide which one it is.
Right.
And either one's not good. If you're in the hog pen, you need to make sure you get out of the hog pen. Because what's in the hog pen? Hogs in the hog pen. We need to get out of the hog pen. I remember a kid's song. It said, Isabel was a pig. Has any kids ever heard about Isabel the pig? Isabel was a pig with a ring in her snout. You can dress Izzy up. But you can't take her out because Isabel is a pig. We can dress up. We can look nice. And we can try to fool each other. But you're not going to fool God. Amen. He knows when you're in the hog pen, He knows you need to get out of the hog pen. And He knows whether you're a hog or not. Amen. Are you in the hog pen today? But until we get up and get out of the hog pen, we'll never be able to get up and praise the Lord. Because the next thing we need to get out of the hog pen, but we need to get up and praise the Lord.
Amen.
Brother Steve, I don't know how to praise the Lord. Really? I heard us praising the Lord this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. But I can guarantee you this, that if we were at a ball game, we wouldn't have any problem jumping up and shouting, run, boy, run! Go! But most of the time, we can't even get a holy when we're sitting in church. Why can't we pray? The reason we can't praise the Lord is because we're still in the hog pen. Get out of the hog pen. Listen, do you have anything to praise the Lord about? Hey, listen, Jesus saved my soul. He poured me into the family of God. He set my foot upon a solid rock. He prepared a place for me in heaven. And thank God I'm not going to hell. Amen. To each other. If you only knew what other people were going through. We don't know. Most time we're worried about us. Turn with me. As I was looking at and studying, turn with me to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Something that I noticed. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. It's still a passage where Jesus was going across the sea. Now, a lot of you have never been to Jerusalem, but I had the honor and privilege of being able to go with Brother Heitz and the pastor and
some other folks.
And we got to
get on the Sea of Galilee.
That's a pretty big sea. Amen. It's pretty big. And we got to go across there. And one afternoon, we're at another place, and I was looking out across, and you could tell it's starting to get a little rough. I hate to be out there on the ship when it got rough. Amen. But anyway, Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And the same day, when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And look at the next verse. Or the next sentence. It says, and there were also with him other little ships. Brethren, you do not know what someone else may be going through. They were on the sea. They were in the storm. They were having troubles. They were afraid.
They were calling upon Jesus to wake
him up. Get up, Lord, help us. But on the same sea, and there were also with him other little ships.
The same problem.
Having the same in the same storm. And I never really thought of that before. We may be going through a problem in our life.
There are other folks having the same problem. We need to be a blessing to them.
Other little ships. It could mean
your family. It could mean brothers and sisters in church. It could mean your friends. Or it could mean your little children. Because when we're going through a storm, we're going through something in our lives, we are going to have an effect on someone else. They're watching us. They're watching us to see how we handle. We go through the storm.
How are you going to handle the storm? Or our children. And all my kids are grown, but I have grandkids. Or our kids and our family. Are they going to see us murmuring, complain to God? And say, God, why is this happening to me?
Instead of trying to be a blessing to someone else.
They are watching you
to see how you
act during the storm. And believe me, if you're not going through a storm now, hold on. It's coming. How do you know, Brother Steve? Because I've been there. I've been there when things are good. On top of the mountain. But you know what's on the other side of the mountain? And if we don't act correctly during our storm, someone's going to see us. We need to
get up out of the hog pen.
We need to
get up and praise the Lord.
And we need to get up and be a blessing.
Get up.
Get in.
Not only do we need to get up, we need to get in. He told the disciples, get into the ship. So I want to look at some ships we need to get in.
Each one of these ships that we'll talk about, I looked up the definition of them.
And I'm going to be honest with you,
I was studying this and I just, my mind wasn't where it needed to be and my heart wasn't where it needed to be. And I said, Lord, I may just need to call the pastor and ask him to get some ideas. I just couldn't get things together. And I started looking at these ships. And I started looking at the definitions. And praise God, the Lord started dealing with me. And I was in my office. I had the door open. And I started crying. And I almost started shouting to my employee, thought, what in the world is going on with him right now?
Let's look at these ships. First ship we need to get into is worship. The definition of worship is the act of attributing reverent honor and homage to God. We need to worship our Lord and Savior. Psalms 103:1, the Bible says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." I love that word,
that verse. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. But before we can worship, we need to have some repentance in our life. We need to get out of the hog pen, get ourselves cleaned up. When the prodigal son came to himself, he got out of the hog pen. He went home. Dad gave him fine skin. He got cleaned up. Amen. We need to have some repentance before we have worship. But we need to worship our Lord and Savior. Is He not worthy? He's worthy.
He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to worship. He's worthy.
We need to get into the worship. Also, we need to make sure we're in the relationship. Definition. The state of being connected by blood or marriage. Amen. Hallelujah.
Ephesians 1:7, the Bible says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to His riches and grace." We need to have that relationship. We have that relationship. We have that relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're in His family. Amen. We're connected. We're related. We're related by blood. Hallelujah. And the blood applied to me. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. Hallelujah. Amen.
We need to make sure we're in the relationship. We need to make sure that our children have a relationship. Not only with us, with our Lord and Savior. They can get saved.
Amen. But if there's no relationship and we have rules, let me tell you, rules without relationship breeds rebellion.
We must have a relationship with our Lord and Savior.
And I just looked up at the clock and I'm going to hurry.
Amen.
Next ship.
Friendship. Definition. True friendship is when someone knows you better than you know yourself. Proverbs 18:24, a man that has friends must show himself friendly, and there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Jesus is our friend.
Amen.
I got a friend, I got several friends in the church.
Bob is a dear friend. If we have friends,
is Jesus our friend? Then why don't we talk to Him every day?
Friendship.
Discipleship. The process of making someone become like Christ.
Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. Amen. Workmanship.
The degree of skill with which a job is done.
Ephesians 2:10. For we are His workmanship,
created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Soldiership. The position or role of being a soldier. Ephesians chapter 6 talks about putting on the whole armor of God.
We're a soldier. I am a soldier. I'm a soldier going home.
Amen.
We are in the Lord's army. Soldiership.
this name. Swordsmanship. The skill of a sword. The skill of a swordsman. A person versed in the art of a sword. Ephesians chapter 6. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Amen.
We need to be versed
in the use of our sword.
Amen.
I like doing the daily Bible reading.
Amen.
We ought to be getting to know a soldier, whether it's a sword, whether it's a gun, or whether it's a slingshot. If you don't know how to use it, it's not going to make a bit of a difference.
My wife has a pistol.
Permit.
When you borrow a gun,
she put a little lock on. You need to be versed in the art of swordsmanship. You need to know your sword backwards and forwards. You need to be able to bring it out at any moment. Because the devil is going to make sure that you do. Because you're going to have someone tell you that's not what the Bible says. And if we're not versed in our Bible with our sword, just like he did Eve, did God say, we need to be skilled and we need to be in the sword. We need to be in the swordsmanship. Amen. Now the next ship we need to get in was my favorite when I was looking at this. We need to get into the flagship. I looked up this definition and I tell you what, the Lord bless my soul. Flagship. The ship which carries the commander, the commanding admiral. Hallelujah. We need to make sure we are in the flagship, the old ship of Zion. I was drifting away on life's pitiless sea, and the angry waves threatened my ruin to be. When away at my side, there I dimly descried a stately old vessel, and loudly I cried, ship ahoy. Ship ahoy. We need to make sure we are in the flagship. We need to make sure we're on the old ship of Zion. Unless you get into this ship, you will never make it to the other side. You must be in God's ship. You must be in the old ship of Zion. Unless you've been born again, you're not in that ship. God is saying, whosoever, come. I need some volunteers. I need some volunteers to get into the ship. Whosoever. Are you going to get in the ship? Whosoever, come. All right, it's too late. Too late. It's too late. God said, whosoever will, come. He said, come, get into my ship. But we only have a certain amount of time to get to the ship.
certain amount of time left.
Amen.
Get into the ship. Get your family in the ship.
Amen.
I was praying last night. I was praying for my kids and for my grandkids. And I saw my grandkids dying and going to hell. And God broke my heart because I've got kids still in the hog pen not caring about their kids, my grandkids, and they're going to die and go to hell. Get out of the hog pen. Get on the ship. Amen. Thank you. You may be. Appreciate that. Get on the ship. Get up. Get in. And get on. We need to get up, get in, and get on serving the Lord. There are still ministries that the preacher told us about in the church here that needs to be done. We need to get on serving the Lord. Get on praying for our church, our pastor, our family,
Amen.
Our children, our country. Get on telling the lost about our Savior because they need to be on the ship too. One more ship and I'll be done. Ambassador. Definition, post of an ambassador, a high-ranking official who travels to another country, an authorized messenger. We need to make sure we're on the ambassadorship, where we're telling others with an authorized message. Jesus. Do you really believe Jesus saves?
Amen.
Do we really? I know we say, yes, we do. Do you believe the person that convenience stores needs to get saved?
Yes.
Do you believe that I'm preaching to myself this morning? I'm not just preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself this morning. If we really believe, why wouldn't we stand up shouting, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Why wouldn't we pass out tracts to everybody we see? Jesus saves. Let me give you some good news.
Yeah.
I was talking to a friend of mine this morning. He said he loves you. Praise the Lord. He said he loves you and he died for you.
Yeah.
Jesus saves.
Yeah.
We're always standing on the street corner yelling, Jesus. Son was, I think, was about to fell over the sign. He wasn't doing anything. He was just holding the sign. Jesus saved. And he's pointing at people. Jesus saved. Jesus saved.
Amen.
He didn't have to say anything. He's just holding the sign. One day, you're going to be glad you're in God's family. You're in God's ship. Because, as I said earlier, the storm is coming. And you're going to need to cry out to God. And you're not going to need to immediately reach down and help you. Get out of the... Get on the flagship. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the few minutes we've had this morning. Lord, I pray that it was a blessing.
And Lord, as I look out, I see who's here. To my knowledge, most say they've been born again. But Lord, only you know. Are we in the hog pen today? Do we need to get up and get out of the hog pen? But most important, are we in the ship today? Have we been born again? Lord, thank you for saving me. Lord, and you know I didn't deserve to be saved. But Lord, thank you that you saved me anyway, April 17th, 1984, on a Tuesday night. Thank you so much. Help us to praise you. Help us to worship you. Help us to tell others about you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you again for being here this morning. Continue to pray for our pastor. He's finishing up this morning. He's a little more long-winded than I am, so he's probably still preaching. Amen. Thank you. Get in the ship if you're not in the ship. If you're here and you're not in the ship, Brother Heights is sitting right back there. He'll be glad to tell you how to get in the ship. Brother Bowen is sitting right there. He can tell you how to get in the ship. Brother McAfee, Brother Watson, Brother Bobby, Brother Justice, people can tell you how to get in the ship. I can tell you how to get in the ship if you're not in the ship. If you're in the hog pen, time to get out. Get up and get out. Thank you again. Have a great day.